No doubt you're very aware of the San Luis Obispo Central Coast wine industry and the beautiful seasons we have on the Central Coast from Santa Barbara to Monterey. No doubt you're impressed when you hear and read about those award-winning wines that are produced in this region. Have you thought about Livermore Valley? Are you aware that that's one of the oldest in the Central Coast for wine growing, the oldest regions? I didn't know that. And perhaps you didn't either. And in fact, author and travel writer Tom Wilmer wasn't entirely aware of it either until he started reading a little bit more about Livermore. The Wine Seeker's Guide to Livermore Valley is the result. Tom Wilmer, you know him from Audiolog. Welcome, Tom.
Hi.
The first thing that comes to mind for me as a reader is, what made you think of Livermore in the first place?
I think it's an absolutely classic story of perfect storm. It all happened really by happenstance. I, like many people, I had driven through Livermore on my way to the Sierras. You know, oh, that's where the Altamont Pass is, you know, the windmills. Oh, I know where it is. Never stopped in. I was invited on a press trip by the Wente family. That was my first time to really get to know the area. And the Wentes were wonderful. They didn't hog all the journalists and just showcase themselves. They took us to other wineries and things to do and see. And I went, oh, my gosh, what an incredible place. And it just, like this flower blooming, it just unfolded and unfolded. And I realized, almost by accident, again, nobody was waving the flag, that Livermore Valley vintners won the first gold medals in America in 1889. The original judge.
Now, that's shocking.
Yeah, it really is. The Grand Prix and the first gold medal, too. Actually, a Napa guy won a third, but we won't talk about
him.
Yeah,
well, let's go to the first and second.
What happened, it was the 100th anniversary of the French Revolution. So they had the Grand Paris Exposition in celebration, kind of like a, you know, World's Fair, what they call it today. That's when they built the Eiffel Tower as a temporary structure for that event. And so they had 17,000 entries from around the world, and Livermore won the first two. But Livermore did not and does not have a deep pockets Napa Valley guy to promote and kind of position it. These are kind of country folk, kind of salt of the earth, farmer sort of people, you know, real just enjoying life rather than bragging about it and marketing themselves. So they just chug along and kind of forget to wave their flag like Napa has done such an incredible job of doing.
Well, you go back into the 1960s and the catchphrase was Sanapanoma, remember? Because they would have the animated character on television mispronouncing the name, which created a memory for that area that stuck.
Seared and imprinted.
How do you turn around Livermore and make it more memorable?
Basically, it's just a matter of telling the story because it's all there.
Well, you've done that.
Very, very few people, even many people in the wine industry, do not know that the Wente family was the first to introduce Chardonnay to California.
Huh.
1911, 1912. To this day, more than 80% of the Chardonnay clonal plantings in the state of California are Wente clones. Incredible.
That is. That's remarkable.
It really is.
Something that's so little known. Although the Wente family, a number of years ago, was recognized nationally as the finest wine.
Yeah, they were stellar. They were the kind of a hallmark of California wines, along with the Marisus and some of the old stalwarts.
Mm-hmm.
Another winery is Concannon Winery. They were the first in America to varietally label Petite Syrah. Its genetic name is Verdot or something like that, or Derif, and not a real fancy name, but to this day, Concannon Winery in Livermore is the second largest producer of Petite Syrah in the world.
Some have gone, like yourself, just gone through Livermore very quickly, although you were raised nearby, so you were very aware of it. But after a period of time, it becomes the back door neighbor that is easy to pass by and not see that often. And I think that's what happens with Livermore. People overlook it as they're on their way from San Francisco to Los Angeles. Santa Barbara is very recognizable. San Luis Obispo, Monterey, But Livermore?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the problems is the name. If it had been called Happy Valley, you know, or some different Sunnyvale or something, it would have been a different story. But poor Oxnard and Livermore.
Livermore.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, kids don't like liver and they never remember. The Livermore AVA actually incorporates five different towns, and it's as much Pleasanton or Danville or Sunil as it is Livermore. And that's a real issue. You know, people locally always remind me, don't call it Livermore, call it Livermore Valley. So it incorporates all of us. Don't leave out Pleasanton.
The liver.
Yeah.
For those just tuning in, talking with Tom Wilmer, host of Audiolog and author of a couple of books, Romancing the Coast, a travel guide to the best bed and breakfasts along the coast, and now The Wine Seeker's Guide to Livermore Valley. It's available in softcover. You've won some major awards, Tom. I think we ought to talk about those.
Oh, sure, yeah. I always forget to blow my own horn, and I'm learning later in life that nobody's going to do it for me.
Isn't that remarkable?
Oh, yeah.
This is for your story writing, your travel.
Mm-hmm. Well, for writing, probably the one I'm most proud of is winning the National Writing Award from the country of Australia. And it's called the Henry Lawson Travel Writing Award. Mm-hmm. And the prize was a $10,000 trip for two back down under. So that was really nice.
So true.
And that was for the best media piece of all North America, showcasing and highlighting Australia. So, and what it was about was the outback cattle tradition way in the outback.
Right.
And I actually spent a month down there and rode horseback 6 days and nights in a cattle drive. So it was real hands-on experience.
And your radio shows have been recognized.
My radio show is actually, coincidentally, one of my favorite shows. I went to the Arctic to meet the real Santa Claus in Finnish Lapland.
Yes.
And you helped me produce that one. And that won second place, State of California, the best radio show awarded by the Outdoor Writers of California. And that's a great one. Actually, a cute little aside on that one. I was with a Norwegian film crew. And so while we're waiting to do our interviews, journalists cannibalize each other. So the Norwegian film producers come over and say, can we interview as an American to find out why you're here? So they did. So then I said, my turn. So I said, why did you guys come to Finland? They go, oh, well, everybody knows that Santa Claus is Norwegian. You know, we just wanted to find out what these fraudulent Finns were up to.
So. Always enjoyable hearing your shows. And I think for listeners to the station familiar with Audiolog would also thoroughly enjoy The Wine Seeker's Guide to Livermore Valley, because it's your voice. It's the voice that so many of us have heard over the years. And so you're talking to me when I'm reading the book.
I think your best writing does come through that reads as if somebody's talking kind of to you and with you rather than at you.
Let's talk about your most enjoyable experiences. And I don't want to say favorites of the wine industry there. That might be unjust because you might have 100. And we don't have time.
That's a tough one. And actually, I was beat up by a blogger the other day because he criticized the book saying I should have rated each winery. And I thought, you know, that's not my intent at all. It's actually antithetical. I wanted to showcase equally each winery in their own kind of best light. It's for example, I can tell you what my favorite wine is in Livermore Valley. Personally,
okay. It's,
can I go there?
If you wish to.
I would love to.
Uh-huh.
It's a guy named Stephen Marisu. Stephen's family, the Marisu family, is the oldest winemaking family in North America. They came from La Rochelle, France, to San Jose region in 1852. And his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was making wine in 1854, and Steve is still making it in Livermore.
And you hesitate to put that in your book, and I think I know why.
I didn't want to, even though I'd be proud to.
Sure. You didn't because every taste bud is a little different.
Exactly. It just kills me. I go to a winery, and it's funky, and I can't stand their wine, man. It personally sucks.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sitting there waiting to talk to the winemaker, and there's 75 wine club members who come, you know, like in Temeca. And they just think this is the coolest wine and the coolest winery in the whole Central Coast.
Yes.
And they're avid supporters and they buy it by the case. You know, who am I to tell these people of XYZ winery that, you know, you shouldn't drink that wine, it sucks. You know, that's my huge criticism of wine critics. You know, it's like, yeah, we get it that you don't like this or you think that is, you know, wine number A is the cool wine to have. But it's like we said, I told you the other day, I was reading an in-flight magazine and this guy's going off on these four different wines and how he and his buddies had did this big wine tasting. And I'm going, I will never in my life taste that wine that they were talking about. And even if I wanted to, by the time I got around to it, it would be sold out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyway,
yes.
So what I wanted to do was to showcase in best light each of the wineries, give you an entree, let you go there, and you discover, and you make your own decision.
I think you've succeeded.
Well, yeah. Hopefully, because that's what beautiful. I wanted to do.
I had a feeling that was the reason, and I appreciate it very much, because from a personal experience, I'm not a big fan of white wine, and so there's nothing that's going to convince me that this is an exceptional white wine. To me, it's, oh, why did they turn it white?
What happened? What went wrong? Were there no skins?
Yeah. What's going on here? So the red wines are my preference, and when I read a review of a white wine that's saying it's exceptional, it's okay. So let's move on.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I need to bring up is that the one thing that I discovered in my year and a half in Livermore researching the book is that the wine industry really ultimately isn't about wine. Wine is the vehicle, is kind of the thematic thread that ties together food, friends, family, music, great times. It's much more than just the wine.
That sums it up beautifully.
And it's true. I mean, and the other thing, every single winemaker, except for a couple grumps, every single one, somewhere in their description of their passion and their philosophy, the word fun, it came up in why they're in the business.
Well, this is what someone is going to find out when they read the Wine Seeker's Guide to Livermore Valley, Tom Wilmer. Website?
If you go to my publisher's website, the parent imprint is called White Cloud Press. And then you'll see my book there. And they created a whole entire website all about my book. And then they created a Facebook. And then they created a Twitter thing. And I don't have to do any of it. That's really nice because that's not the part I enjoy. You know, I enjoy the doing, not the flag waving.
Sure. I can hear that.
Yeah.
I know that after all this time. Tom, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
My honor. Thank you, Guy.
We will talk again.
All right.